All right, here we go. Hi, everybody. My name is Todd Adams. I'm with Zen Parenting Radio. This is Zen Talk number 97, 96. I don't know. It doesn't matter.
Every week, Todd.
Happy Tuesday. And hi to Millie. Hi to Jackie. Hi to Mary Jo. Hi to Megan, Peggy, Nancy, Helen, and Mimi. And it looks like we might have somebody new here. Jackie, is this your first Zen Talk or no? It's your second one. Well, because you're relatively new, I'm going to ask you to unmute yourself and just, if you're okay with it, where are you from?
I'm in Baltimore.
Baltimore. Well, welcome. Thanks for joining us. And then Nancy, are you, have you been on Zen Talks before?
Oh, Nancy.
Okay. I'm going to unmute you then too. Nancy, where are you from?
We're in Longmont, Colorado.
Longmont, Colorado. Awesome. I think everybody else are veterans. If I'm wrong, let me know. So welcome to Jackie and Nancy. This is a really informal gathering. You guys ask questions, ask for support. Kathy and I do our best to give you some feedback. Sometimes you guys give each other feedback, all that good stuff. So do we want to start with a centering exercise?
Sure. It's just a really quick one.
Okay.
So why don't you guys put your feet on the floor? I have been doing a lot of breathing in the last couple of weeks.
I love breathing. It's my favorite.
Well, I do too. And I always feel like I have practiced, but just been practicing more intently. And why don't we do, let's see, I'm trying to think of which exercise. Why don't we, okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to do something a little different. It's going to be more of a visualization, but it's only going to take a minute. So put your feet on the ground, and I'm going to ask you to do something uncomfortable when you close your eyes, and that's to allow the things that you're worried about or concerned about to kind of come up for you. And so, you know, if that be something about your child, or if that be about the world, or about travel, or about COVID, or about, you know, race relations or the election, whatever, just allow it. Just, you know, you can kind of exhale first. And then just breathe and allow all, welcome your worries for a second and just allow them to show up. You don't have to get super deep about them. Just kind of see them there, maybe floating around, you know, just normally we're pushing them away. Just allow them to come into the space and float around, and they're scary. And a lot of them are stories, and just letting them sit there for a second. And then I'm going to ask you to breathe in very deep and breathe all those worries in, not to hold them, but to transform them, and then to breathe out compassion for the world. So you can do this a number of ways. You can do it in one deep breath, or you can do it in a few breaths. I'm going to help you do it with one deep breath and one exhale to kind of decrease the power of these worries that you're carrying. So again, just let them be all around you. And then I'm going to have you breathe through your nose. Hold it for a second. And then exhale. Compassion, compassion, compassion for yourself and the world. And we're going to do it one more time. If those worries are still there, just breathe them in. Hold for a second. And then exhale, compassion, compassion, compassion for yourself and the world. So we've talked about that before here. It's called Tonglen. It's the practice of when worries come in or fear comes in, instead of pushing them away or repressing them or being scared of them or thinking they don't belong, you breathe them in to transform them into compassion. And then let it go as your offering of compassion to yourself and others, okay? So it decreases their power a little bit, and it allows you to turn darkness to light and light to dark and see the combination between the two. So, okay.
Thank you, sweetie. Mm-hmm. Before we get into our first question, I just want to share with everybody, I just got something in the mail from Asia. It kind of came in a weird envelope. And it says, dear buyer, thank you for your recent purchase. This item has been sent with care from Southeast Asia. I hope it arrived on time. I try best to provide affordable, reliable postage. I strive for positive reviews. And it's this patch of like a Polaroid camera. Now, I didn't order this.
Yes, you did. It's JC's.
Oh, why
JC ordered it.
JC ordered a patch for a Polaroid camera?
Uh-huh.
What is she going to do with this?
She wanted it because she was buying patches of things that are meaningful to her, and she likes to take pictures, and she likes the, you know.
Is she going to sew this on a shirt?
I don't know. But all right. She ordered it.
Mystery solved.
Well, and I like the note. It's very nice.
It's very nice. It was just a weird random thing. And I thought maybe you guys could help me solve my mystery. And
I did.
Thanks, sweetie.
You're welcome.
Is Helen on? Helen, you want me to read or do you want to talk? Give me, I'm going to unmute you for a second. There you are.
Hi.
How are you?
Yeah, I can talk about it because I wrote the email and it was a while ago now, so things have changed a little bit since I actually wrote the email. But it's something I was struggling with with a friend, and she's actually going through a divorce at the moment. So I thought I was kind of supporting her, you know, to the best of my ability. And then at one point she turned around and she said, I want to stop talking to you about my divorce, about the end of my marriage, because it's just not helping, or words to that effect. And that really, that really had like a massive effect on me. I was so like upset and sad, and a lot of, it was a really big impact, and I just didn't really understand it. So I tried to understand it myself, like why it was so upsetting to me. And and then like I tried to apologize using the, did you hear the Brené Brown podcast with Harriet Lerner?
Mm-hmm, it's a good
and
one.
We had this like workshop about how to do an apology, and mm-hmm. I thought, okay, right, this is my chance, you know, this is the big one. Especially because I had so many feelings around it. But I thought, well, you know, I can apologize for what's mine and what's, and kind of try and hold space for that, which I guess is because I'm not like a mental health professional. And it was the first time I tried to exaggerate. It didn't really go as well as I wanted it to. Mm-hmm. And afterwards it was, I'm just left in this place where actually I went into a bit of a hole, afterwards. But like that was a couple of weeks ago, or actually no, it was just last week. But I'm feeling like much better now, and I've got a bit more perspective on it. Anyway, so basically, my question was, like, I was trying to support her, and she sort of like, she probably didn't, but basically, she's practicing boundaries, and it felt like it was all thrown back at my face, and I felt really upset and sad and offended and all this kind of negative emotion from, like, it wasn't not my choice, but it was just coming out. So then I'm totally gonna lose my track here, but basically the situation was that, like, I obviously wasn't helping her, and I was getting into such a bad place myself, so it was like this lose-lose position. And also though, like I had so many, like I was journal, like I journal a lot. And when I journal, when I kind of like vented, I had like really, really horrible negative, like I was just like getting out and going, well, no wonder, you know, nobody needs a friend like you, like with all this stuff. I'm like, anyway.
So you were toward yourself?
It was towards
my friend. Okay. And I realized I probably got like, I kind of probably, you know, taken a lot in over the years, and then that added to the fact that it was being rejected. Like I felt I'd invested a lot and it was just not being appreciated, or, you know, anyway, I like, it's not me that's like in the difficult situation here, it's her. But it's a 20 year plus friendship, and we've got a lot in common, and like we got married the same year, we've got a child about the same age. Like we both live in foreign countries away from our family. We are like part of each other's support network. So I don't want to let it go.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of everything, under the divorce, she's actually got a differently wired child, which is like causing a huge, you know, that's kind of one of the reasons why she's getting divorced, as I would kind of I understand it. Anyway, so it's just how do I, you know, I mean, fortunately I don't speak to her every week, but like, I don't want to cause, like, do no harm. That's like the first one. But how do I get to the place where I can, like, you know, I don't know. I mean, I feel like I'm just lost. I feel like I need some Kathy magic to kind of like put these things in place to make, help me see, like, because at the moment I just seem to be doing bad things for her, bad things for myself. And yeah, I'm a bit lost. Yeah. I hope that's understandable.
It totally makes sense.
So I'm going to let Kathy cast her spell of magic.
I don't know if it's magic. But
just so I can do my best to summarize what it is that you just said. You have a friend who's going through a challenging time. You've been communicating with her. You thought that you were helping her. She tells you that it wasn't helping as much as you thought. And now you're
helping at all.
You're not helping at all. And now you're kind of like stuck on what the next move. Did she ask for some separation from communication or just communicating about this topic?
About that topic.
Okay. So she's not saying, don't be my friend anymore, or let's take a break. She's just saying, can we stay away from this topic? Okay.
Yeah, exactly. And she did it by text. And I don't want to get started on why you upset me, really.
Sure. Okay.
Okay. So there's a bunch of different pathways we can go down, and I will try and be like concise in each of them. And then you can tell me which one feels the most comfortable, that's most helpful to you. The first one is that from her perspective, she is experiencing something really traumatic in the midst of a lot of trauma already. And because you guys are so similar, and because you do have lives that mirror each other, you are a reminder or a reflection of what she doesn't have. So you are not going through a divorce. You do not have a differently wired child, even if you're, and even if you're like, yeah, but I have issues with parenting, we all do. And, but sometimes when you're dealing with something that's very unique in your family, other people's information or other people's experiences don't quite grasp the challenges that that person's facing. What that
I'm just writing this down. I'm sorry.
Sure. No, go ahead. You don't have to look at me or anything. I'm just going to talk. And then you know, tell me what feels right. So basically, when she says to you, what you know, I don't want to talk to you about this anymore, it's because even when you are coming from a heart-centered place, even when you are offering your best, you simply can't relate. And your work to try to relate hurts more for her. That sometimes when people are in the midst of crisis, they need other people who have a similar experience that they can relate to. This is why we do support groups. You know, when someone's going through breast cancer, they don't want to talk to their friend who's 100% healthy. I mean, maybe in for other aspects of their life, when somebody has lost a partner, they don't want to always talk with the person whose partner is healthy. They want to find, there's parts of what you are attempting, again, from a heart-centered place. This really isn't about you. And she's saying the conversations about divorce between us hurt more than help. Okay. So that's her perspective. Now, when it comes to you, this is interesting, Helen, because it really isn't that much different than the discussions that we've been having about race, which is that you've been, with you, the information you have and the love that you have for her, you've been doing your best to support her. But she's coming back and saying, actually, that doesn't feel like support, it hurts, or I just want to stop this conversation. It's very similar to what we've been talking about with race, where we're going to make mistakes and missteps, and people are going to say, you've hurt me. And then we get so worked up, like, but I'm trying and I'm doing my best and you don't see me, and what about me? And again, I'm not scolding you for that. We all do it. That's kind of our natural defense. But you can see it through that lens of that she's just trying to give you information you don't have yet. She's not saying you're all wrong, our friendship doesn't mean anything. She's not telling you you're a bad person. She's saying in this realm, the things you're saying aren't helpful. So this is your opportunity to say to her, again, you don't have to do it right away. You could even take another week to kind of work this through, because this isn't just a learning for her. It's a learning for you. Like, it's a learning for you to be able to hold this if you want to call it criticism, feedback, whatever word works for you, to hold it and not make it about you, and to not then start making it that she's the bad guy or girl. Like, instead, because that's what we do, is we turn the pain outward and say, you're making me feel bad. No wonder, you're a horrible person. And it gives you the opportunity next time you talk to her to say, I read your text. I hear you loud and clear. And if there's anything that you can tell me would be helpful, I want to hear what that is, because I want to deepen our friendship and be a good friend to you. And if that means not talking about divorce, I'm in. But if that means there's something else I can do, maybe be more quiet, maybe look at it from, maybe ask more questions, let me know. And an example I can use in my own marriage, and it's not the same scenario, but I think it can kind of, it speaks to the same energy, is that sometimes when I'm sad or I need to cry and Todd is there, and then he says things right before I'm going to cry, like, oh, good job, or there you go, or nice going, or let it out. And I can't stand it. I'm like, here he is trying to help me, being the supportive, open, wonderful friend, but the things he's saying is shoving my feelings back down. And so I had to take the risk several times and say to him, when I'm crying, can you just be quiet? That doesn't sound like a very nice thing to say, does it? And I don't say it like, will you just be quiet? I've been like, I really, when you say those things, it like represses my feelings. Like, I need you to just listen and allow me to cry and really have no comment about it. And that's not an easy conversation, but it doesn't mean that I don't honor our partnership and what he's trying to do. It's just that little piece that made us more intimate. That knowledge made us more intimate. And she's saying to you, I want to be more intimate with you. I mean, she's really not saying it this way and not in the best way, but she's saying, I want to stay friends with you, but this part you're hurting rather than helping. So either let's not talk about that part, or you say, I'm open if you want to offer me the advice. But if she doesn't, Helen, that's okay. Like, if she says, no, let's just lay off that topic, let her make that choice.
And I'll just add one thing, and then I want to hear what you have to say, Helen. The story I'm making up is that you're doing a lot of self-blame right now. And one, that's not productive, but I want you to like embrace whatever feeling you're having, sadness, anger, fear, whatever. But I just have a feeling like you might be taking more than your share of the responsibility for this situation. And like, one toss I'll throw at you is like, what if, you know, I'm with Kathy, like, let this settle in without heroing her, without like trying to save her or save yourself
these
uncomfortable feelings. And maybe when you're at a calm place via text or voicemail or email, you say loud and clear, heard you, what is it that I can do to support you? And she might say, give me some space. Let's not talk for a month. Or she might be like, can you, you know, can we just talk about other stuff, about a TV show or whatever it is, and then be available to whatever it is that she might come up with. The only reason I thought that might be a bad idea is like, she's the one that's struggling. So now all of a sudden her friend has to be the one that has to figure out how to get support.
Well, and this is why friendships are, in all relationships, we're navigating. You're navigating a time with her. So you guys are in some rocky terrain, not because you did something wrong, but because she's going through a crisis. That by definition is rocky terrain. And because you're her friend, you're kind of on the boat with her. And so this isn't going to be super comfortable. But it is, you can navigate it, and you can, what that means is that you may say something else and she responds with no, and you're going to have to come back and then go back. And if, like you said, you're already saying this relationship is worth it, so you're just going to navigate with her. And you know that sometimes you are going to come home and be like, God damn it. Or, you know, like, you are going to be annoyed at her, and that's okay. You're not a bad person. And you know what, Helen, one other deep, and majority on this call are women, so they will relate to this. Underneath all of that is our conditioning as women, which is that we're supposed to be nice to each other all the time. And when a woman speaks up for her needs, we very easily get offended by it because we don't do it all the time. And we swallow a lot of our pain, and we swallow a lot of things we want to say.
And then when someone, especially a good friend, doesn't, it kind of pisses us off because we want to be like, I've been swallowing my pain this whole time in our friendship. I've allowed you to treat me poorly and I haven't said anything because I'm being nice and I'm upholding our deal in womanhood, which is we're only nice. And so when a woman, it then says, I'm going to say something that's not going to land nice. We are like, you're our deal.
Yeah. That's not our deal.
That's not our deal. You know, and it's one of the reasons that I always, we used to talk about this a lot more in years previous, but we talked about how in men's relationships, even though they aren't, and again, I'm generalizing here, always generalizing, but they sometimes don't go as deep as we do, but they can talk shit to each other a lot easier. And that Todd can like hang up the phone on a friend and be like, screw you, whatever, and hang up. I'm like, oh my God, I would never do that to a woman or a man. And they can be a little more like, you know, real or harsh or honest than sometimes our deal has upheld. So that's the other reason your relationship's getting intimate with her is you're going to allow her to tell the truth and you're going to have the space to hold it.
Well, and what I was going to say is her friend actually displayed some what I call masculine energy.
Yeah.
She was getting something that wasn't working and she asked for it to be stopped.
Yeah. Like
for me, that's, and we all have masculine, feminine energy inside of us, but I think you're spot on regarding this is not the feminine deal. Like we just love and support each other. And we say nice things. So we'll stop talking. Helen, what are your thoughts?
Yeah. I think you hit it on the head in terms of like the past stuff of like, there was stuff coming out of like, you know, where I had to swallow it, which I didn't have to do, but I did it anyway. And that's like, explains a lot of the anger. But I think the other part is like, I've got this like, you know, aspiration or idea that I can, cause I've like, read so much and like, I've got all this information that I should be able to help her, even though like I'm completely not at all trained in that way. But like, it basically, I mean, she did us a favor because it, I mean, she like, you know, trash talks her mother and like paints herself out to be such a victim. And I can't stand it. You know, I can't stand because it's like, she's not doing anybody any good. And, like it explicitly herself being the first person, like you're a victim, you've given all your power away. You know, like this is a real situation. You know, like it's been going on for a long time. And she never spoke. Like I knew so much about why the marriage was failing. And the husband, it was like, you know, it was basically had a conversation and apparently he's not been in the marriage for like the past 2 years. It's like, there's so much that drives me crazy. And it just like the unnecessary pain they're causing each other. And I don't know, maybe I thought maybe I could like, you know, like take out like a counseling, like how to be a counselor. And then I would know how to listen to that because I can't do it. Like I can't like, maybe I'm better off just saying, okay, you know, I'll just like your pictures when you send me them and stuff, you know, it's, have you got any ideas? Like, do I just like go the full hog and like become the marriage counselor, like in my kind of amateur way, but, or do I just say, okay, this is not doing any of us, not either of us any good. So we just like, we'll just be like, you know, acquaintances or something.
Well, it's interesting because I will tell you something that I tell my social work students over and over and over again is if you're becoming a therapist, which you're not really, but you're like, I want to counsel her. The thing you have to remember is you're not changing anybody. They will change if they so choose. And oftentimes you may have offered them a bridge or a vine or a hand, but that's it. They did the changing themselves. And when therapists, counselors, friends, or parents go into a relationship thinking they have the power to change other people, you're going to fail.
Yeah.
That's not our job. So our job is to offer, and you know, Helen, it's so similar to parenting in that when all you need to do is do these things in your own life and you don't need to tell her about it. You don't need to be like, look at the things I do, or here's what I do, or here's what I suggest. You just live it. And if she talks, asks you questions, the door is wide open. You get to share. If she's like, what are your self-care practices, Helen? The door was opened by her and she's ready to hear. If she does not knock on that door, you like her pictures and you support her in that way. And you also give her the compassion that right now in the midst of this crisis, she's going to be more victim-y than she's ever been, because she's in a crisis inside of a crisis inside of a crisis. So the expectation that she's going to be super healthy right now, she's not going to be. But sometimes those start to break down some walls where a conversation a year from now may be completely different. I have a girlfriend also going through a divorce right now, and our conversations a year ago were very stunted, and they weren't very real, and they were very like small talky. And the last two times we have met, we have talked about more than we've ever talked in our 10 years knowing each other. And that's because she was also like, I don't want to hear these things. And that's fine. I mean, that's okay. I still love her. Doesn't mean that you have to give yourself away though, Helen. I think what you're asking is, you know, how do I also take care of myself in this process? And the answer is, you don't have to feel bad. You don't have to feel like you need to call her all the time. You can just offer your love and protect yourself at the same time. There's a balance in there. It's not all about her, but it's not all about you. There's the in between.
So
hopefully that helps.
No, that's perfect.
We have Jackie who has a question.
And then
sorry. So if you're open to it, Helen, keep us updated either in the next Zen Talk or on Facebook page, whatever floats your boat. So
can I ask a quick question? Did you turn on the pool today?
No.
Because the girls want to get in.
They can get in without the pool being on.
But we haven't put the chlorine in.
It's okay.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Positive?
Positive.
All right. We're taking care of our neighbor's pool.
Yeah, by taking care of it, we mean we're going in it.
Well, yeah, but like I want to be really good about getting in. It's not mine. So, okay.
It's fine.
Thanks, Helen.
All right. Hi, Jackie.
Hi.
What's up?
Thank you for the opportunity to ask a question. Of course, I feel like there are parallels to what Helen was talking about. And I'm trying to figure out how to make this concise since it's multi-pronged. I guess that's really about my partner and parenting with somebody else. And when you're in different places. And I remember listening to a podcast episode of yours a while back where it was like something about this kind of thing where your partner is on a different plane. And the approach was like exactly what you just said to Helen too, about it's not about changing somebody. It's about doing your own thing. And that person kind of observes and they change if they want to. And I guess my question is, you know, when I'm working really hard to parent differently than how I was raised. And I'm trying to do respectful parenting. And having my husband come in and be very authoritarian and be very like saying you're letting them walk all over you. You know, that kind of tone, but then also it crosses with, you know, all the social unrest and things that are going on. We're kind of on different pages about that. So it's like when I'm trying to talk to the kids about it, he comes in and he's like, why are you doing this? This is crazy. Like, and he speaks to me in this really harsh way that I then have a hard time listening to his content. And I end up talking about how his tone is so harsh that I can't hear his words. And then it's just kind of the same fight over and over again where he's like, it's not about how I'm saying it. It's about what I'm saying. Listen to what I'm saying. And I'm like, I can't because you're being so harsh. So it's kind of like this place where I find myself like, I don't know. I just get conflicted. Yeah. And I kind of get tired of being in the same place.
How many kids do you have, Jackie?
I have three.
And how old are they?
They are 9, 7, and 4.
9, 7, and 4. Boys, girls?
All boys.
Three boys. Oh. And then how long have you been married?
10 years on Friday.
Oh, wow. Happy premature anniversary.
Thank you.
So first thing I want to say is this is such a good question. And we hear it a lot. And we struggle with this. I want to do one thing. She wants to do something else with the kid. And I think she's being too soft, or she thinks I'm being too harsh, or vice versa. So first thing I want to do is just normalize it. And it is hard. So I want to hear what Kathy has to say, and then I think I'll riff off of what you...
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to say, let's have a back and forth conversation.
Sure.
Because Todd works with more men around this, and I really think he will have a lot, like he just said, some normalizing conversation. But I want to start by saying what isn't okay to me as an advocate for you is when you say that tone of voice, I can't hear you then, and he says, well, that shouldn't matter. Because what that ends up feeling like, doesn't matter if we're a woman or a man, just as a human being, is you don't care how I feel. And that he's saying, this is what I believe, this is what I think, I should be able to say it any way I want, and you should just receive it. And that's a very, patriarchal, authoritarian way. And that's why it hits you so hard. It would hit me hard too. And I get that a lot. So I want to, as much as Todd's normalizing it, I want to also acknowledge that there's a reason why it hurts, because that hurts all of us listening, where we're like, oh, like I'm telling you, this hurts. And he, even though he's not saying these words, what it sounds like, what it feels like is, I don't care that it hurts, take it. Mm-hmm. Right. And that's not okay. So that's the conversation. That's the core of everything. Instead of like, how do I talk to my kids? It's the core of, Jackie's going to get a Kleenex. Yes.
There you go.
We should, if we were all together in the same room, I always put Kleenex in the middle, and I put Kleenex around because I want people to be able to grab it whenever they want to. So that hurts. So that's the conversation that needs to be had with him. And these are the hard, yucky, messy conversations, because he will, I don't know him, but the initial conversations around it will be defensive, and he will think that you don't get him, and he will start to focus on the details rather than the core. And it's almost like you need to draw him a picture and say, this is parenting. These are our kids. These are the social pressures. I just want to talk about the middle, which is the way I make you feel and you make me feel. Because all these, I'm like drawing a picture like right now, all these other pieces are centering this issue. And I feel sad, unloved, unseen when you use that tone of voice. His parents may have used that tone of voice with him. His boss may use that tone of voice with him. He may think you need to get stronger to use that, then he should be able to use it. But the two of you are a different relationship than his parents, his work, or with the kids. You want to have a relationship where he is not harming your sense of being or spirit, and you want to be able to hear him because you love him. Mm-hmm. It's not about all this, who's right and who's wrong. It's when I say I can't hear you, not only can I not hear you, but I'm mad at you and I'm resentful toward you, and we don't want that. So, and it's not about telling him how to be or who to be. It's about saying, you can still have your opinion, but can we do it where I'm not getting hurt in the process? And I'm saying, as a woman who's holding you up right now, you have every right to ask for that. That's not you being weak. That's not you being demanding. That is not you being out of your place. It's just, that's, you have every right. But I will tell you, the first conversation, it may be a little messy. Messy meaning it's not like instant like that. It's, you know, and what I think Todd and I and everybody else on this call are holding you up with right now is, it's okay to ask for it. Because that's always the hardest part, right? We feel like, if I bring this up, am I going to mess everything up? Am I being unfair? Am I not understanding him? Because again, that's how we're trained. I need everyone else to be okay. I'll feel crappy as long as everybody else is okay. And
that's a short-term fix. And it's going to come back to bite you next week, next year, next month, 10 years down the road. So yeah, I mean, this is kind of a weird thing for me to say, but as hard as this is right now, and I see that you're emoting, which is wonderful, because you're just sad and you're probably a little scared and it hurts. This could be an opportunity to deepen your relationship with your husband. And I know that might be hard to think about right now, because he's just not falling into line with the way you want to parent. But
well, he's also hurting her with his words.
Right, right. And I just wonder, so in the end, this could be actually a good thing. And I know it's hard to think about it in those terms. And I used to like say to Kathy, like, oh, you know, us guys, we don't like to change. We don't like to be told what to do. We don't like to be told how to do it. And then you like, I used to like, you know, try to help women, like just do gentle nudges towards your husbands and get them to buy in a little bit so then they could start seeing it. And I'm kind of not advising that as much anymore. And kind of from a loving energy, ask for what you want and be real. Cause sometimes it's easier just to be mad and fight back and just, you know, start firing away at him. Just if you could just like touch into the emotion that you're touching right now is, which is sadness and fear, like, you know, these explain to him from these vulnerable places, this is what's happening for me right now. When you talk to me using these words, it scares me. It really, really mm-hmm. scares me. And maybe you're using those that type of language, but how you do it, owning your feelings, owning your emotions through it, that is strength. Kind of like what Kathy says, like you're not being a pain in the butt. Mm-mm. You're being strong. He's not being strong, and I don't know your husband, because he's just as scared as you are, but it comes out as anger, and he's been conditioned by his family to parent a certain way and talk to women a certain way and all that.
And he's raising three boys.
He's got to get them tough. He's got to be strong because, you know, that's the way.
That's what he thinks.
That's the way boys turn into men and all that other stuff. So, so those are some of my thoughts. And like, you know, your husband is wounded, but just bless you for you are trying to make shifts from the way that you were brought up to the way you want to raise these three young men. And that's really hard to do. And most people don't have the awareness nor the fortitude to do it. So I just want to bless you for that. And it's an ongoing, you know, you're going to reach out to your husband and you might not say it perfectly and he might not say it perfectly back. This is going to be a little messy, but, if you can come at it from the right energy and loving strong energy, as opposed to.
Well, and loving strong means I love you energy. Strong doesn't mean overpowering or taking away or it, and sometimes it comes out as anger. I'm not saying you can't have that feeling, but this is about maintenance of your family. This is about love. And, you know, I'm still drawing my picture because I just keep thinking about you. If this conversation is happening, everything else will change. Mm-hmm. So you don't need to worry about the other stuff. You get to be really focused on the conversations I'm having with my husband, him knowing me and understanding how I hurt and that I want to hear how he hurts. It's not all about you. It's about together. I want to hear why you think this. I want to talk this through rather than you calling me weak and me having to be subservient to this. Like it, this is the conversation. And I always say this to everybody, Jackie, a coach, a therapist, anybody that you can have to help you hold this, because obviously we're here for you, but not all the time. Like, and if you, you know, and if you need referrals, I'll give you one, like someone you can call after the conversation and say, this is how it went, you know, like it was not great, or I need more support. Like you shouldn't have to do this alone. Mm-mm. Is my whole thing. Like this is the work of, and I'll say of women, that necessitates some, you know, because the conversation, it may go great, but if it's difficult, I want you to have someone to bring you back up and say, it's okay. So I'm going to send you some things. I'll send you a few names just in case, unless you, do you have a therapist or a coach?
We do. And I mean, we have had these conversations and I very much stand up for myself and, you know, my emotions kind of go all over the place. Sometimes I'm angry. Sometimes I detach. Sometimes I, you know, so I'm trying to figure out the best place for me to go when it happens, because we have had these conversations repeatedly and he just seems to have a hard time controlling himself. So I just have to figure out how I respond.
Jackie, what about a letter? Have you ever written him a letter? Because then you don't have to manage your emotions. You just get to say everything you want.
Yeah, maybe. He has a hard time with reading long things.
You're like, here's my 70-page letter to you. Read it tonight. I know it sounds weird because we live with these people and we're like, why are we writing them letters? But it's cathartic on two ends. Number one, you get to write it all out and say it the way you want to say it. So it gives you the opportunity to cut and paste and delete and, you know, all that. and then he has to read it. So you don't have to manage your emotions when giving it to him, and he has to read it and do his emotions, and then you come back together. And I'm a big fan of writing.
Good idea.
Yeah.
Before we move to Nancy, Jackie, I just want to give you a little more space to comment, ask a question, whatever.
No, it was helpful. Okay. It's helpful. I mean, it helps to feel affirmed and.
Yes.
Yeah.
Jackie, it is the women that I meet with individually, it's the most common conversation we have. There's history in it, unconscious, collective unconsciousness in it. There's the masculine and the feminine. There's our roles. There's the patriarchy. It's so not just about you. Like this, there's so much burden in when we are in a heteronormative relationship, meaning a man and a woman. There's so much weight inside of it that we're carrying. You know, it's interesting. Glennon posted something this week about her relationship with Abby and how she's so enjoyed not having that burden, like just having another woman that she's with where that is gone. And they just talk about their own, right? I know. And everyone's like, yes, I need a wife. And I kind of laughed at it because I'm like, wow, I wouldn't have a clientele anymore if everyone was married to women, because there's a lot of that, but it's worthy work. It's holy work, because we do live in this time together, and it's not something it's not about running away from it. It's about figuring out new ways.
Well, and the way I approach working with guys, my ego always gets activated because I want to wring these guys' neck saying, dude, you have no idea what it means to be a man, because you got to lead with vulnerability and softness and all this other stuff. And I get like really mad. And then I just think, these guys are the way they are because our society fucked them up, and they are wounded, and they're scared to even look at their wounds. So then I like bring up the sense of compassion, like, oh, so then I feel like I'm in a much better place to help these guys, because they've been lied to most of their life of what it means to be a man. Mm-hmm. And if your husband is any like most other guys out there, raising three boys, thinks that they have a certain model of what masculinity is. It's just reinforcing. It's reminding him of what that means. So,
and where he thinks he fell short.
Yes. So those are just what I struggle to understand. I just think these older men, these mature men, are acting like immature boys because they were not taught. Like, I've been doing a lot of men's work. I work with an organization called Mankind Project, and there's a weekend called New Warrior Training Adventure. And it's a really kind of a scary weekend where they like, they basically
force you to confront.
Yeah. It's 3 days of shadow work basically. And it's just anything that we hide, deny, and repress. And like kind of the theme of the weekend is that there's these guys that have been through the training that are holding the space for these men who have never been through the training. And I always kind of think back to like Native American stuff, because in Native Americans, the men would get the boys when they're about 13 or 14. And like they do
a
vision quest of what healthy masculinity looks like. And the bottom line is, in our society, nobody came and got us. My dad never came and got me. He did not teach me what manhood means. So there are opportunities that your husband has, if he chose to go in that direction. There's a whole bunch of people out there that are doing this work. We are the exceptions, but we are more and more out there. So I just want to throw that out there. So
thank you.
Gotcha. You bet.
And I want to read Millie. Sending you love and support, Jackie.
This is from Millie, Jackie.
I also have a husband who grew up in an authoritarian household, and I see how that affects his parenting style. Thankfully, he has grown and learned about how his family of origin parenting has affected his personal parenting style. It also has helped him inform. I'm having a hard time reading this because it keeps...
His parenting style. It also helped inform my understanding of where he comes from. It's still hard to witness when he uses his authoritarian ways, but I can now understand that it's deeply rooted and it's hard to change. I definitely think that sharing with him how his words affect your feelings is really important. He cannot deny how you feel.
And that's a drop the mic moment.
He cannot.
This is real. And then Joe, who's part of my men's group, says, we've got to break these patterns. If you can be open to resources, there are many out there. Men need to know that it's just not about them, but also for their kids and their partners. And that leverage, sometimes I use that, like, because a guy would be like, well, I don't need it. I don't have any problems. I'm going to be just fine. I'm like, yeah, no shit. But what about your kids? And what about your wife? And what about the future of your marriage? And what type of people are you going to raise? There's so many good resources out there. And that's always the tricky part, is because, you know, wives are always trying to throw resources at their husbands. And most of the time it doesn't go well, because guys don't want to be fixed because we're not broken.
Don't tell us we're doing it wrong.
That's right. Just love me and support me through all my baggage and shit. Sorry, I'm getting all worked up today. All right, let's go over to Nancy. Thank you, Jackie. Bless you. Hi, Nancy.
Hi.
What's up?
I have a different tack. It's to kids here. I have an oldest son, actually a female-to-male son, so trans male son. It might give a little context to what all the transitions he's going through. But more recently, he's also tween, so 12 years old. Mm-hmm. And not only a different person from that perspective, but also just, I felt like he is just, has always been very open and like flexible and fluid. And then this year, through so many transitions, and I just want to say we're a very affirming family, but we're still learning. Mm-hmm. And so not only are we dealing with this transition that is just amazing and scary and affirming and wonderful, but also the tween transitions.
Totally.
So knowing and understanding development, I've been reading about that. But just recently, on a more practical level, I need your advice, because I loved your podcast on connection. I just, mm-hmm. Listened to that, and it was very, very timely. Mm-hmm. So in the past year, when we would ask, you know, oh, let's go visit our family friends who we love dearly. They have a young son that's the same age as our young son, and the older one is the same age as our oldest. But recently they've had some differences. And so he doesn't always want to go, which I totally respect. And I love that he's having this bravery of voice. It's just different because he hasn't really been that way mm-hmm. up until this last year, more so, I should say. And so I'm trying to navigate that, because we want to be with our friends. We don't want to leave him home by himself. So this balance of, there are certain things you do with the family and we just go and do it, versus going too far and shaming them or making him feel that his opinion is not valid or he's not being heard. So just some advice, because I love both of you and how you approach your girls. And if I could have some advice on that, it'd be great.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I love your question.
Go ahead, sweetie.
And how old is he again? Did you say he's 12?
He's 12.
Yeah. So I think it's interesting, because I know, I feel like we've had to navigate that in a similar way, where some of our friends are like family. And so, you know, there's been certain periods of time, maybe when they were little, that was easy. You know, it's like, this is just what we're doing. This is where we're going. And then there have been times for a multitude of reasons. And his reason is significant. Like I think my question before I go into this route is the boy that is his age, is he affirming of him?
Yes, it's actually a girl. So
it's a girl. Okay, so it's a girl.
Yeah, and she's part of our inner circle for who we included to be our kind of inner circle of support and affirmation. But again, really not knowing, because I think as they've gotten older, we're not always present for the conversations. So, you know, I don't really know. I mean, how affirming and how far that goes, I do know on the surface.
Right. That's a great, and you know what? That's a great in right there, is saying to him that you know that that your relationship with this family is going to be around forever. So that's just their family. You know, we use that word too, their family. But you want to be thoughtful and respectful about his experience when he's with the family. and saying, it's not about saying, tell me, you know, everything that's ever been said to you or anything like that. It's just like, when you're there, do you feel comfortable? And he may say yes or no, or sometimes or whatever. I don't know what the answer will be, but say, I want to, all these things you're saying to us is a good conversation with him. I want to balance the needs of our family, which is we need to stay connected to this family, with also respecting that you are feeling, especially going through, you know, all these transitions, you know, his own puberty, his own transition, his own awakening, his own awareness, that that is being held and respected during this time. So, and then sometimes, like, and the answer to your question that's more specific is, I think there's always a place in the middle. Like, you know, you need to get that information first for one, so you have it. But number two, just so he knows that you're thinking about it. I think if we go full, like, this is just what we do, you have to come along for the ride, that's when our kids get defensive. Like, you don't even care what I think. And the conversation alone shifts that thinking in their head. Just even saying to him, let's talk about this, because it's not about, should we spend time with them? You're going to spend time with them. But how much time does he have the energy for? And maybe it's like 50-50, maybe, because like you said, you don't want to leave him at home. But can he be at home sometimes? Can the family come to your house sometimes? And again, this just gets logistical, but this, his comfort as our, it's interesting because as our kids grow up, we end up having more people to consider when we're doing things. When they're little, we're like, here's where we're going to eat. Here's where we're going on vacation. Here's where we're going. I mean, Todd and I, 17, 15, and 12, we're like, we can't agree on anything, Nancy. Like, and that doesn't mean they always win. It's not like that. It's just like a constant conversation. And sometimes it's things that you and I are discussing right now. It's things like, I just don't feel comfortable there, or I'm really needing time to myself. Things that are more social emotional when we're just trying to be logistical, you know, like, but that's just bringing him in on that conversation creates some trust going forward, because this is just kind of an intro to, and I'm not saying this like the teenage years are horrible. They're not, but they have more of an opinion. And we have to figure out, so I think your answer, I think the from the way you asked the question, you just want to make sure you're not railroading them into doing something, but also not being so permissive that you're allowing them to run the show. And it's going to be somewhere in between where there is, you're not going to not see this family, but there you are going to keep in touch with them, but there you are going to do your best to at least hear his experience, and there may be days that he's more up for it than others. And can you hear that rather than say it's this way or that way?
What are your thoughts, Nancy?
Yeah, absolutely. That's been my approach. And I think what's hardest is when we're planning something and they think that day that it will be okay. And then all of a sudden we're about ready to go.
Yes.
And I think, good, this is one of the good times.
Yes.
And then we get totally surprised. And so in that moment, I have to really come into my own, because I get angry, honestly.
Yes.
Like, what? You can't change your mind. You know, of course they can. But in that moment, I just feel very at a loss. And I don't know what to do at this moment.
Yes. And he's taking, you know, what it's similar, even though this is a little less threatening. Do you remember, I don't know if you had this, but when the kids were really little and you'd have a date night planned and then the kid would get sick or something and you'd be like, you're screwing it up. I got a babysitter. You needed to stay healthy. Like, we had a thing where we used to go on vacation like once a year, and one of my kids would always get hurt the day we left. It was like Murphy's Law, you know, like they'd fall right before we, and I'd be like, you can't do that. I need this. And so your anger, it makes sense, meaning that you need to see your friend. And when it gets all messed up. So I guess I want to just like soothe you in that I feel that way too. When there's a plan, when we're going to dinner and everyone was happy about it, and then all of a sudden someone's like, I don't want that now. I'm like, ugh. Like, I want some continuity. I want some certainty in the midst of uncertainty. And so there's nothing wrong with feeling that way. But then in that moment, then you have to, there is no, like, Todd and I or nobody here could give you the right answer. Only you can do that in the moment. But if you feel angry first, that's okay.
Yeah. And so just check in with yourself. I mean, it doesn't mean you have to tell your 12-year-old son, hey, I'm angry right now, but just check in with yourself. Put your hand on your heart and say, wow, what am I feeling? Like inside your head. And just give you, because we're all busy and we're all trying to do too many things at once. But can you just sit with yourself and give yourself one breath of acceptance in that moment? And maybe that's as much as you can do. And I think that if you / the rest of humanity can check in with ourselves before we respond to whatever stimulus is around us, we'd be much better off.
Yeah, there won't be a right answer. There'll be an answer for that moment. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no like, this is what I should do every time. It's more like, this is what's going to happen today. And most likely, to your point about him having a big year and then, you know, going into B12, it won't always be like this. So that's something that helps me too, is when any of my kids are going through a hard time or a change, or, you know, that right now is hard, but this isn't always the way it'll be, you know, and it'll go back from your sons. Like it right now, the focus is on this son. And then in like a year, you'll be like, oh, I'm not worried about him at all. It's the other son. You know, like it's, this is kind of the way, or it'll be something about you. Like we vacillate from person to person. So,
it's nice to hear that. I think this is a very common thing. I felt like, gosh, I had all these tools and, you know, and when that resistance comes up, I'll offer something like, well, what can we do to make this more comfortable for you? Or what do you need? Because we're going, but it doesn't always feel good because of the pushback. And I think I'm just starting to get used to pushback. It's not been something I've had to deal with, luckily, and I'm very grateful for that. So I think that's part of it too, is just me opening to that and letting those emotions come through me rather than, you know, resisting, like, wait, where is this coming from? What? And then it goes to, oh, I'm a horrible parent.
Totally.
But so I'm so glad to hear that this is common and that every situation, of course, is going to be different, and to have just, you know, love for myself too in that. Because there are times when we just have to force them to go like that.
Sure. So do we. And it doesn't always feel good. And, you know, and just talking about your son for a second, now that he's come into his own, And that means a lot of things that he does. You know, you already said this at the beginning, he does have more of a voice. He does have more of an opinion. He's more grounded in who he is now. So he's like, listen.
And I love that. I do, because actually it mirrors who I am, but maybe that's where we're also having a little bit too.
Jackie wrote in the chat box, I don't know if this aligns with your parenting, but I'm thinking of Kim John Payne's book. You ever heard of that? Called Soul of Discipline, where he talks about being the gardener with tweens, reflecting a cultivating of making good choices through listening and watching. Gardener gauges the garden's needs. He goes on to talk about parents as guides during the teen years.
I love guides. We are support systems. There is this threshold that is crossed where we are no longer in control of we're doing this. It's more of, it really is the power gets divided up among everybody. Mm-hmm. And for, especially for authoritarian parents, that's really rough because they want to keep it. That's not your methodology, Nancy, but it, even with those of us who are like, no, I'm open to this, it's uncomfortable. So yeah, I mean, we go through this all the time. Like I actually am going up to wake up my daughter who's still sleeping, and it's like noon. And I'm always like,
it's 101, sweetie.
Should I be waking her up at 9? Should I be waking her up at 7? Like it's not the same scenario, but it's the same kind of inner dialogue of, am I doing it right or am I doing it wrong? Mm. So
hopefully that helps, Nancy. And thanks. I think I said hi to everybody, except some people got on a little late. So I want to say hi to Jennifer and Judy. Hi guys. How you doing? Thanks for joining us. Not sure if we're going to do a Zen Talk next week or not.
Todd's going on the trip.
I'm like going on a trip, but
we could do it later in the week.
Yeah, maybe we'll do Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. We'll see. I'll have to check my calendar, but thank you for that. And
one thing I wanted to share is that on the Facebook page, I just posted an article before we started that was in the Atlantic, and it was about, it's a short, usually Atlantic articles are like 80 pages long. It's only about 2 pages, and it's about how our brains are not hardwired for a time like this. And that right now, when leaders are saying, I don't know, go out, I don't know, eat inside, eat outside, travel, I don't know, don't do that. Don't. We don't know what to do. And so that anxiety on top of all these other things we've been talking about today, it just, again, you bring that compassion in. I just try and laugh and be like, geez, like, or cry. I cry plenty. Cried this morning, had a good one. There is some like, wow. So it's a good article that to ground you in that if you're feeling that uncertainty, that you're just not alone. We're literally not wired for this time. Even 1918 wasn't like this, because in 1918, we didn't have all this information. We didn't really even know what was going on. So it just gives you, it's hopeful though. It's not hopeless. It's just grounding. It's like, we can do this. We're just learning new neural pathways.
Oh, Jackie's getting hugs from her little guy.
Hi.
So one other thing is, we do have that membership directory. So if you haven't put in, it's completely optional, but it's an easy way for us to get to know one another, favorite books, favorite quotes, favorite movies, favorite TV shows. If you have a differently wired kid, you know, what you studied at school, all that other occupation,
where you live,
geography, you could filter by geography. So there's a lot of different ways. So it's on your membership page. It's under Team Zen. It's on the left-hand side. Just check out and see who, and because we want to be able to create a connection with you all, not just on Zen Talks, but in between. So feel free to reach out to one another. So
hi, Sky.
So with that, I'm going to say goodbye. Millie, will you stay on for a sec? Because I'm going to ask you about Lake Tahoe.
Okay, loves. I'm going to go turn on that pool and go wake up Cam.
Bye, guys. Thank you so much. I'm going to stop recording.